Ben Melachim Aleph. Melachim Aleph. Perek Tes Va. Pasuk Tes. As we've been doing the last couple of weeks, we are going to be learning Be'ezus Hashem what it says in Melachim, and then moving over to Divrei Hayamim, which tells the story in much more detail. Okay? So let's see what Sefer Melachim has to tell us. Again, Perek Tesvav Pasuk Tes. Bishnas Esrim LeYerovam Melech Yisrael, and the 20th year for the reign of Yerovam, the king of Israel, Molach Asa Melech Yehuda. Asa, the king of Yehuda, took the throne. This enters a period of new heights in Klal Yisrael. Barboin da achas shona molach b'Yerushalayim. He reigned in Yerushalayim for 41 years. V'shem Imoy, his mother's name was Ma'achol Bas Avishalom. Ma'achol Bas Avishalom. Actually, this was not, if you've been keeping track, this was actually not his mother, but his grandmother. This was the mother of Abiyam, the wife of Rechava. But if you remember, we already noted that she was not a woman of very good reputation. This is one of the classic examples of the foreign women who have been introducing, bringing back in her old idolatrous ways. And the pasuk is stressing, well, first of all, she was still alive at this time. This is the grandmother of the king. She was still alive at this time and very prestigious. She was like, what do you call it? The mother queen, the grandmother queen. Grandmother queen. Right? So she, what's that? Queen mother. So in this case, the queen grandmother. So, and so she was, of course, a very, very revered figure, figurehead in Klal Yisrael at this point. And this is an important point as we move along in the story. Vayas Asa Hayosho Meine Hashem Kedavid Ovid. Oh, and here already we have a different description. Asa did what was right in the eyes of Hashem, like his father David. We've been keeping track of the different expressions we've been seeing. This is a very, very effusive phrase. Vayaver Hakadesh Min Haaretz. He eliminated all of the harlots from the land. And he got rid of all of the idols that his fathers had made. What idols had his fathers made? We already discussed, none of them made any idols. But, as we've seen, both with regard to Shlomo, and with regard to Rechavam, and with regard to Abiyam, we attributed, the Navi attributed to them the idolatry that the women, that the women of the royal house were engaged in since the time of Shlomo. And this Asa fought against and eliminated. Now we have to stress, this is another thing. We keep on stressing, I have to note the nuances in the Navi. Right? Who is he? Which of the Zara is he getting rid of? He's getting rid of the Avodah Zarah that had been in his family. What about the rest of Eretz? What about the rest of the land? He only got rid of the Avodah Zarah and his family, not the rest of the land? What's that?
Two.
Oh, well, so the Deris HaRishonim points out, what's that?
Except for the altars.
Also, the truth is that the Deris HaRishonim points out, but he doesn't make a big deal about this, there really wasn't much more than the rest of the land. The main ones who were corrupt in Malchus Yehuda, the main, who was a bit, but the main ones who were corrupt in Malchus Yehuda, in Yehuda, in Israel was more of a problem, but in Yehuda, the problem was primarily with the women of the royal house. So, and this you actually see this nuance here in the pasuk. Right? It talks about getting rid of the idols of his father's house. Began, it's Malcha Imai, then he took an even more drastic step. It's very strong statements here. Vayisireha Migvira. His grandmother Malcha, he took her down from her position as the What did you say? The queen mother. Why did he do that? Asher also mifletes v'ashera. But she had made exactly what this is. The Mepharshim have different takes on it. The bottom line is that it was some sort of idolatrous thing. Anywhere from a statue to a temple to something that would really use more for immoral purposes. She made, as bizarre as this sounds, Chazal say that she made a statue built such that she herself would actually act immoral with it. Okay? Whatever it is, this was something bad. It's called a mifletzes. Mifletzes really, in modern Hebrew, mifletzes means a monster. That's what mifletzes is in modern Hebrew.
Idol worship association, because they can only for that
true. But it's enough that it was not the type of thing he'd want to see in a Torah Dikahom. That was enough for Asa to want to get rid of it. Right? Whatever the case is, it apparently, even according to this understanding, though, it did have idolatrous association. Because the Mepharshim say, where did the word Mifletzes come from? Mifletzes, obviously the usage of modern Hebrew comes from these origins, but what's the root of the word? The word root of the word is Palatz or Palatzus, which means terror. So, what's that?
Today,
Mifletzes is a monster. That's right, in modern Hebrew it's a monster. The root of the word is Palatzus, terror. The Mepharshim say, this is really... Well, it wasn't that this actually was a monster, a scary-looking thing. It's just that we find like the pasuk uses different derogatory terms for Avodah Zarah. Sometimes it calls it Gilulim. Gilulim is feces, right? Sometimes it calls it different names. So here it calls it Palatzus, as in it brings terror on its worshippers. Okay. Whatever it is, Asher Otsa Mifletzes v'Asherah. Oh, hey, it's explicit in the pasuk. It was of idolatrous association. She made this mifletzes in the context of Asherah worship. Vayichos Asa es mifletzta, he ground up her mifletzet. Vayichos benachal kidron, vayichos, and he burnt it up into ash, benachal kidron, and then he scattered the ashes in the kidron, a creek. So it's a very, very strong action, even against his own grandmother, in terms of ridding Eretz Yisrael of any other desire. Behabama Yisrael Sarah. What was the one thing that wasn't bought all the way? The bamas, the private altars, he could not get rid of. Moshe David Bali says it was already difficult. This is a famous phenomenon. We're all familiar with this. Once something, Avodah Zarah, even though there was already starting to exist in Eretz Yisrael, he got rid of that. But Bamas, the altars, the private altars, it was really worship of Hashem, right? It was well within the context of Yiddishkeit. Usur, mind you, right? It was Usur. But it happened in Mutra at one point earlier in history. And people had already gotten used to it. And we're already familiar with the concept that once everybody does something, and it's already Mutra, right? Very hard to do something everybody's already accustomed to, and it's not really a breach of Yiddishkeit in a superficial sense, so it's hard to undo. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman also suggests that perhaps the reason he didn't want to do it was, he said, people are very into this. Worship was a very big thing. So he said, let's at least leave this. Meaning, right next door, the neighboring 10 tribes, you have real idolatry going on. Okay? People want to have their forms of worship, and they're used to having their backyard altars. If you're going to take all of this away, then it's going to be a hop, skip, and a jump away from the idolatry on the other side of the fence. So we'll just leave this. Lemais is criticized even for that. Criticized in a subtle way, right? But he's criticized even for that. Lemais, once you were gone, you should have gone all the way. And the truth is, we don't make such cheshbonos. If something is usur, we get rid of it. We don't worry about, you know, maybe people will defect if we get rid of it. Our job is to maintain the standards the way the Torah dictates them.
Dovio Melis also didn't happen against Noah because he wasn't strong enough to have it. Is there any possibility that he just couldn't have gotten away yet?
Perhaps. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's hard to also make out if the pasuk is kind of like implying blame against him or not exactly. If the pasuk is not, then maybe we'd say it like that.
The words are already comparative to Albert.
Exactly, that's right. Exactly, and as the pasuk now continues, the pasuk says, the altars he didn't get rid of, Rak levav asa hayashalim Hashem kol yomov. Yet, Asa was wholeheartedly dedicated to Hashem all of his days. So he's getting very good rating here in the Navi. The Navi is harsh, we already know that. The Navi is harsh. He's getting very good rating here. And on the contrary, in this context, when it says that the Bamas was still there, even though he didn't manage to get rid of them, still, the Pasuk says right away, he himself had nothing to do with Bamas either. He bought anything that his father had sanctified and was still in the house. And anything that he himself sanctified, Beit Hashem. Was always bought to Beit Hashem, was always bought to Beit Hamikdash. He had nothing going on in the house. There was no bamos. By him, worship meant the Beit Hamikdash. Kesef, v'zav, v'kelim, silver, gold, and utensils. Okay. Now, Sefer Melachim skips a whole bunch of very significant events. So we're going to move over now to Divrei HaYomim and see things related in more detail. Okay. So, okay, again, if you're not following inside, so you don't need to follow inside now either, but if you are, you have the Divrei HaYomim here. If you want in English, you have it here.
Nobody else is using it.
So we move over to Divrei HaYomim Beis.
Tell
you to go. Anybody want one? Here. Divrei HaYomim Beis, tell you to go. The beginning of the parrot. Parrot Yud Dalet, okay? You're having days, Parrot Yud Dalet. Okay. We'll move quickly as well. Aleph and Beis is basically repeating what it says in the Lawson. Aleph, Vayas, Asa, Toi, Vayosha, Veina, Hashem, Alekov. Asa always did what was right in the eyes of Hashem. Vayosha, Mitzvah, Chois, Amechor. He got rid of any foreign, his bases, Vabamis, and the altars. This is referring to altars from the Gezer, yes? Vayishaberes, Hamatzevois, Vayigadais, Hashemim. He broke the altars. He cut down all the Hashemim. Vayomer liYehuda lidrosh et Hashem elokei avoteihem la'asos haTorah v'amitzvah, and he instructed Yehuda to seek out Hashem, the God of their fathers, to do all Torah and mitzvah. As we already stressed, Yehuda worked keeping Torah and mitzvah. Avihem already said that, right? Asa's father. But he's talking about really stepping up the dedication. An additional point also. Now that he got rid of whatever idolatry was going on there, he said, now we can seek Hashem out even more. We can now expect that now that we've cleared any of the contamination out of the way, if we'll go dedicate ourselves all the way now, after the Sur Meirah, after getting rid of that, we go dedicate ourselves to our Seif Toi, we can expect to see very intense response of the Shem. He eliminated from all the cities of Yehuda the altars and the different sun things that had to do with sun worship. And we see that yes, there was avodah zarah sprinkled around the other cities as well. But we saw in the Lachim, after Paul the ones together, that the Lachim stressed the ones of the royal house. Apparently, that was where the main problem was. And they're just smattering around Eretz Yisrael as well. And the cause and effect was very distinct. He had a very peaceful reign. By even Ori Mitsuna Bihuda, he took advantage of the serenity of the peace. He built up fortified cities in Yehuda. He shut the Haaretz because the land was enjoying a period of quiet. And he encountered no wars during these years. Hashem granted him divine peace. So he said to Yehuda, the people of Yehuda, okay, let's take advantage of the opportunity now. We'll build up these cities. And we'll fortify them with walls and towers, doors and bars. This is an opportunity now. We have the land completely peaceful at our disposal. He stresses, look, we have to know, we're enjoying divine favor because we sought out Hashem. Dorashnu, because we sought him out, therefore, he granted us this serenity, this peace. This might sound conceited, but we have to note that it's not. This is a very, very important step in Avodas Hashem. When a person dedicates himself and sees the reciprocal fiat of Ishmael, he should note it. He should note it because success breeds success. And Adarabha, it's nechazik a person to go further when a person is able to know, look, I've achieved goals. Look, I actually see Hashem responding to my successes. That can motivate the person to go even further. And therefore, he's telling the people of Yehuda, we have to give ourselves a pat on the back. We have to give ourselves a pat on the back. I'm stressing again, people don't think in these terms. They'll think that, you know, gaiva, anova. It's important to pat yourself on the back and avoid the Hashem. If you set yourself a goal, if you overcame a challenge, it is very important to be able to tell yourself, look, I did this, if I did this, I can do more. Should you let it get to your head? Should you become conceited? No. It's a fine balance. But yes, being able to congratulate yourself on successes, which should come along with thanking Hashem. Note the fact that you got to see out the Dishmaya. Note that Hashem, the fact that Hashem is giving you this favor. And certainly, if you see in your life, we can sense these things in life. It's not as distinct as the time of the days of Mikdash. You can sense sometimes favor being shown to you following efforts that you made. Note that. And this is what he did here. Vayivnu vayatzlichu. And he inspired them, and yes, they built up the cities and they enjoyed divine success. And Asa built up an army. He had people who were bearing shields and spears in Yehuda, 300,000 such soldiers from Yehuda. And from Binyamin he had people who were bearing shields and they were archers. 280,000. These were all mighty men of war.
That's surprising.
What's that?
Binyamin and Yehuda almost have the same number.
That? Binyamin and Yehuda?
Have almost the same number. It's rather surprising.
Why?
Yehuda is usually like a much bigger shiva, a much bigger area.
I'll tell you the truth, I need to keep track of the... But I hear, okay. Mm-hmm. I hear.
And the rest of the things, do you have?
What's that?
The other things...
I don't know what the numbers were. I don't know what the numbers were. Apparently this... You know what? I don't know. It's possible. It's possible that this was noteworthy. You know what, as you're being ma'irid, I'm thinking that maybe on the contrary, if we're going to put it into the context of what's coming, maybe it's not such a big number. I'm not sure. Put it this way, either noting they had a big army or it's noting that he had a small army. Either noting they had a big army in the context of his successes, or it's noting that he had a small army because of what's coming. How's that for an answer that covers all bases? I can't be wrong there, right? Okay. So look what's coming. No mention at all in Sefer Melachim, just to know. This is something significant. Vayetze Alehem, Hashem wanted to show him further. This is a pattern here. Hashem wants to show him quite how much favor he's enjoying. So therefore, look what Hashem brought upon him. A very intimidating battle. Because Hashem wants him to see quite what your standing is. Vayetze Alehem Zerach HaKushi. Zerach, the king of the Kushim, translated as Ethiopia generally, I believe. Bechayil Elef Alofim, with an army of a million. Umelkovay Shloshmeres, and with 300 chariots. Vayavay Ad Malaysia, he came to a place called Malaysia, came up against Asa. What made this happen? Mapitom, why all of a sudden Kush coming up against the, you see what happened? Hashem wants to make a demonstration here, that's why it happened. Vayetze Asa lefano, so Asa went out against him. Vayalchu milchama b'day tefasa lemoresha. And they had a battle, they had war in Gay, that was an overpass that was overlooking Moresha. Now, if we keep... Yeah. That I don't know. So now, if you're keeping track, Asa is significantly outnumbered, right? Asa has an army of 580,000 men. And here, Kush is coming against him with an army of almost double, a million warriors. Right?
What country did they pass to get Asa? Didn't have to go through Egypt.
I'm not the man. I don't know. I don't know the geography. I don't know.
It's not like a bordering.
Right.
Unless they're not Ethiopian, they're Tamani, and they're coming up from the south.
So Vayikra Asa El Hashem Elikav. So Asa called out to Hashem Vayomer. He says, Hashem, for you it makes no difference if you're coming up against an army of great multitudes or someone very weak. For you it's all the same nothing. Help us, Hashem, our God, because we are leaning on you. Hashem. And it's in your name that we're coming against this multitude. This is reminiscent of David's way of talking, right? We're just coming here representing you. Hashem Elokeinu Ata, you are Hashem our God. Al Yatzar Ilcha Enosh. Don't let a simple mortal stand up against you. Vayivayif Hashem Es HaKushim Lifnei Asa. And Hashem smote the Kushim before Asa. Before Yehuda, by Anusa Akushim, and they went fleeing, this much greater army. They hear the fame Asa va'am Asher Imay, and Asa and the nation that were with him pursued them, Adli Gror, all the way to Gror, by Yipol Mikushim, the Inla Mishra, and the Kushim fell as though they had no life to them, there was no fighting, it's like they were already dead before they caught up with them. Once again, it's Hashem smiting them. The army of Asa is basically just like behind, finishing the job. Because they were broken before Hashem and before his camp. And they came back with a very great loot. These are the effects of a king who dedicated himself to Hashem's service. Oh, is that what it says?
Somewhere.
Oh, that's an interesting insight. I didn't see that. That would also answer what Nassim was there. Standing a source that says that this very great loot was what Mitzrayim had taken from Rechavim earlier. Kush had a battle with Mitzrayim, conquered all that, then went on to fight Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael took it, and Yehuda, and Yehuda took it all back. But coming up. So, well, let's enjoy the good times while they last.
Let's spend them while we got it.
So, Bayaku is color orange, Sviva is grow. So the Yehuda went on to smite all the cities around grow. Kiryapachad Hashem aleihem. He couldn't even stand up against them because the fear of Hashem was upon them. Vayavoizu is color orange. He builds the rabba also by him. And they took the loot, the spoils of all these cities, but there was a lot of wealth there. Vigam olei mikno hiku. They also smote many desert nomadic tribes, but there was a lot of livestock. Vayishbu tzayim leroi v'gmali, and they took very much sheep, camels, vayashuvi l'Yerushalayim. And they came back to Yerushalayim. Okay, so here we're seeing one of Yehuda is reaching a high point in their history after the glorious days of David and Shlomo, and things started sliding down. As we saw, Rechavam and Abiyam's time also the Jews were keeping the Torah, no question about it. But here we are seeing active, very strong active efforts to turn the clock back and to undo all the problems that have settled in, and to step up the dedication as a result, to find the favor of the Shina, and indeed they found it. It was a very mutual dynamic. What's that? You're right, in the Torah, Gur is Krishna. Yeah. Where do they come in here? I don't know. I don't know who lived here at this point. Maybe the Krishna lived there. I don't know. Okay. Vazayo ben oydei noisa alav ruach elekim. So now, okay, we already saw the idea that a person should be able to give himself that feedback, right? So now we're seeing also more than that. They're seeing these divine successes. Hashem wants to send them an explicit message. They're seeing all the divine successes. Hashem wants to give them that chizuk, to tell them explicitly, I'm right here with you, this is me doing all this. Enjoy it, right? Vayetze lifnei asa vayem eloi. So this Azayo ben Oyvid, this Nabi, came before Asa and said, Shma'uni Asa Makal Yehuda, I have, listen to me, Asa all of Yehuda, I have a congratulatory message from Hashem for you. The Kol Yehuda ben Yami. Hashem Yimachem Yoyzkem Imai. Let's enjoy, let's relish this unusual Nebuah. Okay? Most Nebuahs are not in this tone. Right? Hashem is with you because you are with him. In Kidrashuhu, if you continue to seek him out, Yimotzei Lachem. He'll be there for you. But also bear in mind, you have to make sure to hold on to it. Utazvu Yazeh Netzchem. Don't settle into complacency. Don't settle into taking it for granted. Keep up the efforts. As soon as you start slipping, he will leave you in the same measure. And now he goes on, gives us some more admonition. He says, V'yamim rabim liyitzorah leloi Elohei emes uleloi koyim mire uleloi tarah. He goes on to describe times where the Jewish people are not living up to what they should. Now the Mepharshim are divided here into, is he referring to times from the past? Is he talking about times in the future? It doesn't really make a difference for our purposes, because on Maisa his message is that in periods where the Jewish people allow themselves to drift away, whether in the past, whether in the future, he describes what the effects are. There have been, or there will be, many days for Kal Yisrael, the Lo Elohei Emes, they are without a true God. What does that mean, they're without a true God? It means that they're not living with him. They're not with him. Of course, he's there. And that they're not with him. Without a Kohen instructing them, meaning they're not asking for the instruction. Again, the Kohen is there. They're not asking for the instruction. And therefore, they're left without Torah. If they're not going to be looking for the instruction, they're not going to have Torah. And this brings about problems that will be described soon. But Vayoshev Batzaloi, he's just giving the pattern of the way things work. Vayoshev Batzaloi al Hashem Elokei Yisrael, And then when they found problems as a result, they do tshuva, they come back to Hashem and they tell Yisrael, Vayimatshu, Vayimotze Lehem. And they seek him out, and he's there for them, meaning that's the pattern. If they forsake him, he forsakes them, but he's always right around the bend. He's always available. If they come, they cry out, they try to get back in touch with him, he'll be there. But at such times, so they are away from him, this is a rule when the Jewish people, he's sitting down, this is the way the Jewish people's history works. When they're not connected with him, when they're not intimately involved with him, things won't be peaceful. There will be problems inside and outside. And it will also be accompanied by all kinds of turmoil on the various lands. The kitit to bagoy, the goy, the ear, the ear. There will in general be lack of quiet, and they'll be running into encounters and problems with all kinds of different goyim, different, all their different cities. Kelechim hamamam b'kol tzara, because Hashem will be bewildering them with all kinds of tzaras. So he's saying, don't settle into complacency. Now the times are good. You're putting in high efforts and you're enjoying divine favor. But don't settle into a place of taking it for granted. See, that's the chachmah. You achieve success, you're doing well. Can you keep up those efforts? Can you keep up those efforts? Can you keep renewing the vigor? So he admonishes them. Keep yourself invigorated. Don't let your hands draw limp. Or more specifically, you start in eliminating Avodah Zarah, it's a big job. Completely, continue the job, completely purge it. Because there's great reward awaiting you for this. Kishmoya Asad Vayamayla. As Asa heard this admonition of the Navi, it indeed had that effect. He renewed his efforts. The Nebuah given by Oded Hanavi, actually the Pasuk earlier said it was Azariah, the son of Oded. So most of the Farshim say that a lot of times a person's father will be mentioned in his stead. Some suggest that maybe his father was also prophesying at the time. Whatever it is, it's Chazek. So he renewed his efforts with great vigor. And he completely purged all of Eretz Yehuda and Binyamin from any idolatry. Now here, also remember Rabbah here really brings out what's going on here, the whole plot here. Now, we saw already that Malachim skips much of this. Here, Divrei Yavin also skips a very important event, but now mentions it almost in passing, alludes to it. He eliminated, he cleansed all idolatry out of Eretz Yehuda and Binyamin and out of the cities that he captured, from Ephraim, Menashe, and Shimon. He also eliminated Avodah Zarah from the cities that he captured from the 10 tribes. And so here you're already getting an inkling of an event that wasn't even mentioned. We saw the battle against Cush, right? And this emboldened him to go even further. He waged war against the 10 tribes. He waged war against the 10 tribes, captured a significant number of cities, and cleansed them of Avodah Zarah as well. And as a result, Hinaflal of the Yisrael Loloi, many of the 10 tribes started coming over to him. When they saw how Hashem was with him. So what we're really seeing here, Sefer Oyel alludes to this, and the Farshim will bring it, and the Ramban brings it out even more. You know what we're really seeing here? He's mamish bringing things back to Davidic times. He was actually headed toward the reunification of Palestine. We're starting to see it happen. He's capturing a few of the cities. As a result, besides the cities that he captured, a whole bunch of people are starting to move over to him too. He's in the process of reunifying all of Klal Yisrael under his own reign, the reign of Malchus based on it. What's that?
Why did he start with the Lord?
Because here he's understanding once the 10 tribes were already Avodah Zarah, now he's already coming and zealously fighting for Hashem's honor, wants to recapture them and bring them back into the fold of Avodah Hashem. And on the contrary, this really was a divinely ordained process of reunifying Yehuda and Binyamin, Yehuda and Yisrael. Okay? This is very, very significant, potentially. So, here Asa is Ma'ish bringing Klal Yisrael to move peaks, almost back to the times of David HaMelech. And he's Ma'ish on the brink of really big history, reuniting Yehuda with the 10 tribes. So after these victories, he gathers them all together in Yerushalayim on the third month and the 15th year of his reign. And they sacrificed Hashem on that day from the spoil that they had captured from the 10 tribes. They sacrificed 700 heads of cattle and 7,000 sheep. So he keeps on. This is a glorious pattern of efforts met with divine success, right, with divine favor, which spurs him on to even greater efforts, which brings even greater divine favor, which spurs him to take the efforts even further. He's mamish on a, how do you say the opposite of a vicious cycle? A blessed cycle.
Virtuous.
What's that?
Virtuous.
A virtuous, blessed cycle of one thing leading to the next. Snowball effect, which is mamish headed toward reunifying Yehuda and the Aseret HaShavatim. So now he takes it to the next step, and he brings all of Klal Yisrael together into Yerushalayim to create a bris, to make a covenant, Nidrash Hashem Eleteh Avaseim B'chol Avavim B'chol Napsho, to seek out Hashem with all their hearts and with all their souls. And we already said that he's been doing this, right? But obviously he's spurring the people to higher and higher levels of dedication, passion, right? He's demanding very, very high levels of that. Anybody who doesn't want to be a part of this, to seek out Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Yumas will be put to death. L'min katan v'ad gadol, l'min ish v'ad isha. From small to great, man to woman. Notice, look what he's saying here, right? He's not necessarily talking about Avodah Zarah here. He's talking about, he's bringing people to very, very high levels of dedication. People are not going to go along with this. They'll be put to death. They'll be put to death. Here's such a concept. This is interesting to note. The king has the right. Even sizes is such a concept. But that means it's in special rights. But when there are standards prevalent in Klal Yisrael, the king has the right to enforce it. Mamasham pain of death. If he brought the people to a level that everybody is looking up to Tikkun Chatzos, we stopped throwing out examples, wasn't Tikkun Chatzos there, okay, there's a mikdash. But everybody's looking up to Tikkun Chatzos. And everybody is taking on all kinds of wonderful and huggies, but really the main thing here is the level of the inner passion, right? And one person says, you know what, I don't want to be a part of it. Asa says, you're endangering the standards of all of Klal Yisrael. Yes. The person will be put to death for that. But they didn't need that. Sorry, give me another minute or two. We have to can't stop in the middle of this. They made that oath, right? Asa is demanding this of them. They made that oath to Hashem. The very loud voice, Ubitrua, the Mefarshim say, with trumpets, with shofaris and trua. What's trua in addition to shofaris and trumpets, right?
Tefillah.
What's that?
Tefillah.
Oh, I hear.
Says it's like a tongue.
What's that?
Says it's like a tongue.
That means tefillah. Oh, I hear. Okay, that's adding another teenage here. But the Batumis says, trua here means cheers. Meaning this was not a solemn, you know, of the king coming with a severe imposition. The people were enthusiastically cheering. They were all swept up with the fire. Vayismichu kol Yehuda ala shvua. They were all very excited about this oath that they now took. Ki b'chol avavam nishvau b'chol ritzonam b'kshu. Asa said, anybody who won't do this will be put to death. But here's how they took it. They were all rejoicing over this shvuah because they made the oath with all their hearts and with all their desire. They were here to seek out Hashem, vayimotze Elohim. And Hashem was indeed there for them. Again, this is already the third time we're seeing it. We're seeing more higher and higher level of divine favor. Vayonach Hashem lahem misavim. And Hashem granted to them peace all around. Okay, we're seeing a very glorious point in what's generally thought of as the dismal period of the Malachim. And you know what? We'll stop here while we're ahead. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.